for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Thursday morning service of July the 6th, 1989. Tape number 14B of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Norman Parrish is the teacher for the afternoon.
You know, for a long time there when I was sick, I wouldn't let anybody here pray for me. I said, well, I prayed for others. I can take care of this myself. And the more I prayed for myself, the worse I got. The Lord was trying to teach me body ministry. He wanted to teach me that I needed, you know, what you have to offer. And many times there's a subtle type of pride that makes us think that we can handle any situation ourselves. And we don't ask for outside help. But the more you try to minister yourself, if that's your motive, the worse it's going to get. So you better submit to outside ministry if you need it. Okay, let's go on to 1 Corinthians 10. And these few passages can be dealt with quickly. 19 through 21. What say I then? That the idols, anything or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Do you notice idols and devils? The Bible says that those that worship idols are actually worshiping what?
Devils.
Behind every idol there is a devil. Even though they might have Christian names. You might have an image of the Virgin Mary or of some of the saints, thousands of saints that are venerated in the Catholic Church, but you can be sure that behind that image or idol there is a demon. Amen? Now, what it says here is about eating meat sacrificed to idols. You know that was forbidden by the early church in Acts 15, the first council. They said that ye abstain. And it seemed proper, good to us in the Holy Spirit to regulate these things. That you abstain from what? From fornication. From what else? From blood, from anything strangled, and from meat sacrificed to idols. See, when you offer yourself up as a living sacrifice to God, what does God do? He takes control of you. Doesn't he? He takes over because you have offered you as a present, as a living sacrifice. Now, anything that's sacrificed to idols is what? Taken over by evil spirits. You know, back in Christ's time, in the heathen temples, they used to have what they called the temple meat market. So much was brought, so many animals were brought first to be slaughtered and to be sacrificed, that the priest had the right to keep part of it. And since he couldn't eat all that with his family, they started a little business. They had a little meat market in conjunction with the heathen temple. And you could get, you know, a T-bone steak at the temple market for about half price. And so a lot of Christians, poor Christians, would go to that market, that temple market, and buy meat. And what the Holy Spirit was warning, you better not eat that. That could be contaminated with what? With evil spirits. And if you eat that meat, you might be eating what? Demons. See? You might be eating demons. That's why it's so dangerous. Now, we might not have that problem today. But Paul had to regulate that to protect the Christians from evil spirits. You know, everything that God does, he does with a purpose. When they're in... I'm going to get a little sidetracked here. But in Acts 15, it says that ye abstain from blood. What is he referring to? Blood sausage? Come on. Rare meats? Huh? When I was a teenager, I used to belong to a club in Columbia, in our school, that used to make excursions. We used to travel all over the state and the country. We'd go out for weekends to towns. And I noticed some of the fellows on Sunday morning would go to the slaughterhouse. It was the only time in the week that they would slaughter and to sell meat at the market. And they'd go down there and they'd take a cup, and when the cow was slaughtered, they'd get that blood and drink it. And that would make you a macho man, you know, real manly. But you know, what I noticed, they begin to develop. You know, if it was a bull, they'd begin to develop some bullish tendencies, you know. Rage. Because the spirits that were operating in those animals would be transmitted to these people, these young people. And later on, some of them got into drugs and into a lot of things. Some of them were killed. Violently killed, tragically killed. Those same fellows that would drink that blood. Because something that takes place. Now let me ask you, when it says abstain from blood, does it only refer to that? Or would it refer to blood transfusions? Hello? See, blood transfusions to me are very dangerous, and now more than ever before, because certain incurable diseases are being transmitted through blood transfusions. Now, I think we have to be very careful. One thing we should do, if we need a blood transfusion, let's try to get it from a close relative. Or if we need a blood transfusion, let's get it from a brother or sister in Christ, whose blood might have been purified already through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? But in deliverance, I found many demons that love to live in the bloodstream. There's, for example, leukemia, pernicious anemia. I'm not talking about these new dreaded diseases like hepatitis B and AIDS and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I read an article. I think I said, told this some time back here at Lake Hamilton, but I'm going to repeat it for the benefit of those that haven't been here. I read an article, Reader's Digest, many years ago, and I didn't cut it out because it wasn't my magazine. I wished I had it. That said that even mental illnesses can be transmitted through blood transfusion. If you take blood out of a schizophrenic and inject it into somebody that is normal, that person will begin to develop schizophrenic tendencies or attitudes. You hear that? Now, why can certain incurable diseases or certain emotional diseases be transmitted through blood? Spirits. Now, I have a sister in Miami, Florida, that used to be a missionary. She and her husband served as missionaries in Guatemala and Mexico. She was a very jovial, loving person. Well, one day she was downtown Guatemala City, and she had a miscarriage. And they rushed her to the hospital, and since she was bleeding so bad, they immediately put her on blood. They were several blood transfusions. And jokingly, the nurses, I remember she told the story jokingly, the nurses said that blood belonged to a black person. And I don't think, you know, the Bible says that out of one blood he has made all. I don't think there's any difference between the blood of a Chinaman or of an African or Anglo-Saxon. They're all the same. But listen to what happened. Immediately my sister's character or disposition changed. Immediately. She became hyper. She couldn't stay at home. She went to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist said, you're at the verge of a nervous breakdown. You've got to get out of your house. You've got to get a job. So she got a job in a tourist agency. And you know what happened? She began to run around on her husband. And sooner or later, they had to leave the mission field. And when they got back to the States, they divorced. Where did it all begin? I believe it was blood transfusion. See, you better pray over that cord of blood that's going to be injected into your vein. I know there are certain cases where it's absolutely indispensable for blood transfusions to save life. That's probably the only reason it should be done. Some automobile accident or some operation. But brother, take all the spiritual measures you must take before you let them inject that blood into you, your bloodstream. Amen? Just like food can be cleansed through what? Prayer and thanksgiving. Don't you think that? That's why Jesus says that the word says that we should pray over our food and break any curses over it? Huh? I don't break curses every time I eat. Huh? I will at 1 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. But sometimes when I eat out and when I eat in certain homes in Latin America and elsewhere in the world, I put curses over that food because I've been cursed through food. I told you the story of that tamale I ate, and through that a curse of death was put into me. Oh, I'm not going to take time today to tell her. I wouldn't finish the Bible study. But see, when God warns us about certain things in the Bible, He has a reason. And we shouldn't just go counter to that. I mean, I'm not legalistic, but I think that God has some good laws that regulate our nutrition, our hygiene. And they're all for our protection, to protect us from demon infestation. Okay?
Let's go on now. You can read those verses there in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and Psalms. They all have to do with idol worship as worship to demons. And anything that has been sacrificed to demons is very dangerous. Demonic objects. You need to clean your house out of demonic objects. A lot of people have heirlooms, or they have objects that they bought from all around the world. I remember going to T.L. Osborne's museum that he used to have in Tulsa. How many walked through that building? I tell you, I never felt so much oppression. I got through, out of that place as fast as I could. Because they had all these demonic objects there in display. Later on, I heard that he sold the thing, and now it's a temple, it's a church. You know? Well, I don't know about that, but I tell you, when I went through that building, my wife and I and the family were going through Tulsa, and we went to his headquarters, and we saw the museum, plunked down $5 to walk through that place. But I sure got out of there as fast as I could, because I felt, brother, that place was just filled with evil spirits. Those demonic objects that he brought from the mission field. You have to be very careful. Okay, let's go on to number 7. This is another case, passage of Scripture that has been much misunderstood, because there's a mistranslation there. Let's read it here, verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, who are children? Spiritual children. The Bible talks about carnal Christians being babes in Christ. Amen? I've given you some verses there. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. There it talks about carnality is spiritual immaturity. You're a babe when you are a carnal Christian. Now what does it say here in Galatians chapter 4, verse 3? Even so we, when we were children, were what? In bondage. To what? Here it says the elements of the world. Well, I made an investigation. I give you here several translations of that verse. You got your little outlines. The Revised Standard Version, which is a very good translation. Did you know that? What does the Revised Standard Version say? We were slaves to the elemental spirits of the universe. Carnal Christians are slaves to what? To the elemental spirits of the universe. What does the NEB, New English Bible, say? Slaves to the elemental spirits of the universe. Exactly the same. What does this is good news to modern man. GNMN. How does that translation say? We were slaves to the ruling spirits of the universe before we reached spiritual maturity. Did you hear that? And I went up to a church up here in Missouri, well-known preacher, and to speak at a convention. Brothers at Camilla were there. Do you remember that, Irma, when I went and spoke in Springfield about 2 years ago? The Lord led me to speak on deliverance and sonship. Deliverance as the road to sonship. I said, you cannot come into sonship as long as you haven't been set free. I said, demons are spiritual parasites that will stunt your growth. Say, carnal Christians are subject to demons. They're slaves to the ruling or elemental spirits of the universe. And before you come into sonship, you've got to go through deliverance. Deliverance will set you free so that you can grow into full stature in Christ. Well, the message was withdrawn. I mean, they didn't even release the tape. Because they say, you know, the leader of that church or group said, you know, we're past that stage. We don't need deliverance. We're into sonship. Well, then he should have said, we don't need salvation. We are into sonship. See, there's different stages. I know that. But people will always be in need of salvation, Lord, don't you think so? And they'll always be in need of deliverance. And no matter if you believe in sonship, you must realize that deliverance is at least a step towards sonship. That's what this verse is saying. And you'll notice we're talking about the demonic element because you can see it down here in verse 8. Howbeit then? Then when we were children, spiritual children, when we knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are what? Who were you doing service to? To demons. That's who you were doing service to. Then, when we were spiritual children, we didn't really know God. We knew about God, but we didn't know God personally, intimately. And we did service to those that by nature are no gods. So Galatians chapter 4 is talking about sonship, but it's talking about the need for deliverance in order to come into sonship. We need to be delivered of all those elemental spirits. Okay. Now let's go to point number 8, and this is a very important one, brethren. And I think I'll close with this. I still have 10 minutes, and I think we can study it. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Why don't we read verse 3? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know, the scriptures say that in the end times there will be a falling away. What does it say? That many will apostatize. It says in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The falling away will come when people give heed and give place to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay? Now here it says that Jesus will not come, verse 3, until there first come a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now let me ask you something. Who was called the son of perdition in the Bible? Judas. And yesterday we studied that Judas was a devil, that Satan entered Judas at least on 2 occasions. Now, I believe, brethren, that this son of perdition is a spirit. And it's a spirit of disloyalty. It's a spirit of betrayal. It's a traitorous spirit. Amen? Keep that in mind. Okay, now let's read verse 4. Who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, the fundamental teaching is that the church, the temple, Solomon's temple, will be rebuilt in Jerusalem before the coming of Christ. Have you heard that? And that the Antichrist is going to come and either sit personally in the temple or he's going to erect his image in the temple and demand worship. Listen to this. I don't think the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem till after Jesus comes. I don't find it in the Bible that it's going to be rebuilt before Jesus comes. Okay? And it's going to be a center for worship. I don't think the blood sacrifices will ever be restored. Why is God going to permit blood sacrifices to be offered again when Jesus was the once offered up for sin? But it'll be a worldwide center for worship. People will flock from all over the world to Jerusalem during the millennial age to worship in that temple, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? But let's leave that word temple. Let me ask you something. Is God interested in buildings today?
No.
And here I've got some verses. I think I wrote them down here. In Acts 7:48 and Acts 17:24, it says, God does not dwell in temples made of hands. God's not interested in having a building built in Jerusalem or elsewhere. What's he interested in? He's interested in the church of Jesus Christ. That's the temple he's building. And you'll notice when I talk about temple, I mention 3 things here. Temple is the individual believer, his body. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It's the local church. Ye are the temple of God. It says, whosoever defileth that temple, God will destroy. Then it's the universal church, Ephesians 2:20-21. That, let me tell you this. The temple of God today on earth is the church. Collectively and individually, you are a temple. And at the same time, you form part of a temple, which is the church. Now, the Bible says that in the end times, a certain personage, you might say human or spiritual, is going to come and enter the church and sit in the church as God. You know what it is? It's a counterfeit spirit. Counterfeiting the presence of God in the church. Now, this spirit has 4 characteristics, and I'm going to mention them quickly. The first, that it's a spirit of betrayal. It's the same spirit that operated in Judas, the son of perdition. It's going to be disloyal, traitorous. Brethren, we've got that happening everywhere in the body of Christ today. I mean, Brother Glenn Miller has been the victim of a lot of betrayal, like I've been the victim of a lot of betrayal. Every valid ministry today is being betrayed by counterfeit Christians. And they're into every church and organization. And they're just waiting for an opportunity to take over. Huh? To rise up against you and try to take that thing over. Amen? Oh, that's one of the signs of the end times. Okay? Now, it's first a spirit of betrayal. Secondly, it's a spirit of rebellion. It says, opposeth. That's rebellion. Third, it's a spirit of pride. Exalteth himself. You know, today, that's the thing everybody's doing, trying to exalt himself. You read Christian magazines, and everybody's blowing his own horn. Every big ministry talks, you know, marvelous things about themselves. I got a hold of a magazine of evangelists some time back, and I began to go through it, and I noticed that his name was more prominent than the name of Jesus. So I said, I'm going to mark these. So I took a marker, and I marked his name, and I marked with one color, and I marked Jesus Christ with another color. And who do you think won out? Huh? 10-1. 10-1. I mean, he was just buttering himself up. You know, exalting himself. You know, when somebody puts out some flyer saying, the great man of God, the international speaker, the great man of faith, great, 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 great. I think you can put a stop to that. If you're the head of that organization, you better put a stop to that before you're eaten up with worms too, at least spiritually speaking. But see, that's self-exaltation. He opposeth and exalted himself. It's a spirit of betrayal. It's a spirit of rebellion. It's a spirit of self-exaltation. And listen to it. And it's a spirit of counterfeit spirit, falsehood, imitation of the presence and manifestation of God in the church. You know, Pentecostal churches have got a lot of this today. Counterfeit tongues, counterfeit prophecy, counterfeit everything. All the ministries can be counterfeit. The Bible talks about false prophets, false teachers, false everything. And the Bible talks that every gift of the Spirit can be counterfeited too. Listen to this. Much that goes for this gift of word of knowledge today is just divination. And you won't like what I say. But I've been in meetings where this supposedly gift is in operation, and the Spirit of God shows me that it's a spirit of divination. Huh? And we Spirit-filled Christians are so stupid, and we're so gullible, that we just swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Because everybody wants to get a word from God. I've had a lot of biddies come up to me and say, the Lord told me you have a word for me. Well, the Lord hasn't told me anything, I say. Walk away from it. Huh? You maybe noticed that I'm very hesitant to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, at least publicly, because I've seen so much trash, so much trash. We've had people come through Guatemala, and they've wrecked havoc in our ministry. We had a lady from Ohio come down, and she began to call people forward and give them ministries. God has called you to be a prophet. God has called you to be an evangelist. And my goodness, we had a riot after she left. I mean, there was no way we could subject those people. Everybody was running to and fro trying to prove that they were prophets and evangelists and everything else. One of those prophets came to me one day and said, the Lord told me that the church should have a 3-day of fasting and prayer. I said, well, I'm going to submit to the brethren, and if the Lord confirms it, we'll have it. Well, 2 or 3 days later, he comes and said, what did you do about it? I said, well, we haven't felt that God is calling us to a day of fasting and prayer. 3 days of fasting. He said, well, if there's a prophet in Israel, let him be heeded. Well, I said, I don't know about that. 6 weeks later, he was backslid, drinking. He was one of the prophets this lady placed into the prophetic office. Now, you have to be very careful, brother. Today, the enemy is like a roaring lion, and he's trying to deceive us and lead us astray. Okay? I believe when it talks here about the temple of God, it's talking about the church. And it's warning us that in the end time there's going to be a demonic manifestation where? In the church. And Satan is going to impersonate the Holy Spirit. And he's going to sit in the church and pretend to be God and demand worship. And it's going to be a spirit of betrayal, a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of self-exaltation, and a counterfeit spirit that will imitate the gift and operation of the Holy Spirit in the church. Does that sound reasonable to you? Huh? We've got it already, yes. Then you can read the rest here. Ezekiel 7:22, it says, they shall pollute my secret place, for robbers shall enter into it and defile it. Which is God's secret place? The temple. The holy place. Some might say the holiest of holy of holies. But it says they will pollute. Thieves are symbols or types of demons. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so our demon spirit that will enter God's secret place and pollute it and defile it. This is warning us about demonic activity in Christians, about demonic activity in the church. And I've got John 2:16 and Luke 19:45 and 46. You know, the church, the temple in Jerusalem was polluted twice. Jesus, there was two cleansings of the temple. You remember that? when Jesus was beginning his earthly ministry, he went in the church and cleaned it out. He said, you made the house of God a house of merchandise, a marketplace. But 3 years later, just before he went to the cross, he went back to the church, to the temple, and it was in worse condition than ever before. 3 years later, it had been reinfested. And what did Jesus say? You made it a den of thieves. Which is worse, a house of merchandise or a den of thieves? Den of thieves. And that warns us, brethren, that even though we are delivered, we can be reinfested by evil spirits. And I give you some verses there about reentry. 2 Peter 2:20 through 22, Matthew 12, 43 through 45, and Galatians 5:1. The Bible, Paul says in Galatians 5, stand fast. That's a military term. Stand fast in the freedom or in the liberty with which Christ has already made you free. And what? And what? And don't let the enemy entangle you again in the yoke of bondage. He'll always try to. He always returns. He always inspects. He's always going to look for an opportunity to return to what he claims as his own. I will return to my house from whence I went out. He's still claiming rights over us. He never gives up on us. Did you know that? And he'll seek for a reentry every time. So that's why we must keep our temples clean. It's not enough for it to be swept and garnished. We have to keep that temple filled with the glory of God. Amen? And I tell you, I've seen entire churches that have become the habitation of every foul bird and every evil spirit. I've been around long enough now. Churches that 25, 30 years ago were powerhouses for God, some of them are locked up already. Had so many squabbles and so many splits, the church has been devastated, and they've even sold the building, and now it's a garage, or now it's a warehouse, or something. Listen, a lot of those latter rain churches, you know, latter rain was a marvelous work of God in the end of the late 40s, early 50s, and all through the Gulf Coast, a lot of latter rain churches began to surface. I remember a rainbow tabernacle and a faith tabernacle. They used to use the word tabernacle quite often. Even by the late 50s and early 60s, those places were devoid of the power and presence of God. I mean, they were dead as doornails. And I've been through Port Arthur, and I've been through Orange, and I've been through that area. And many of those churches no longer exist. Ichabod was written over their doors. Because they let that counterfeit spirit come in and take over. You know, that was the undoing of the latter rain movement, was a spirit of false prophecy. Did you know that? You maybe haven't heard about the latter rain movement, but I tell you, it was a glorious thing. Huh? But the prophecy took over. There wouldn't be any preaching. Yeah. You know, the Bible says the prophet speaks two or three. Let the others judge. And I believe there should be a limit on the manifestations of the Spirit of God. Huh? And you know what happened? The whole service was taken over by prophets. They'd go and prophesy over each other, and it just, you know, it just degenerated. The Word of God was of no interest or value to them. And the enemy entered and destroyed that whole movement. Something good came out of it. And we still have some of the, I don't know, I was going to say dregs, but they're not dregs. Some of the benefits of the latter rain movement. But brethren, that's a warning to us. Amen? We can't come to a place of complacency. How many say amen to that? Don't you ever come to the place you think you've arrived. I'm part of the elite. I'm the elect company. I'm the sonship company. I'm part of the manifested child, what you call it, man-child. Listen to that, to this. There's no one here that can say of a surety that you are part of that. Only God knows who are his own. I mean, you can hope, and you can strive. But you don't know if you are part of the elect company. And you better not go around boasting. We need to be kept pliable and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We must submit and let the Holy Spirit continue to work in us, cleaning us out, purging us of all uncleanliness, delivering us of all those demons. And there's more demons than ever before. I think they're multiplying. We're under a demonic onslaught today. I mean, you can't go to a bookstore today without getting defiled. You can't turn your television set on today without getting defiled. So let's take these things to heart, brethren. There's so much we need to learn. Do you think this Bible study was necessary? Was useful? Okay. take these notes home and read them. And if you feel like it, buy the tape. I don't get any profits, you know. I don't. But buy the tape and study with this little manual in your hand. Go over the material. Because someday you'll be called on the carpet and you're going to have to defend what you believe as pertains to deliverance. Amen? And I think we've given you a lot of pointers that will help you prove to yourself and to others that deliverance is a valid ministry, much needed today in the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? God bless you all.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.